I enjoy the holidays. I particularly enjoy the singing of the Christmas carols, the smell of cedar, and the decorations that are put up here in our church. The holiday cheer is just something special. And with that comes a deep recognition that Jesus is really whom he said he was. And I will draw your attention today back to the scripture that was read in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2. And I want to focus on some of the ideas and details concerning the wise men as they came looking and searching for Jesus. It's been interesting to me in a career of ministry to recognize that God works with so many different people in so many different ways. And as a speaker, it's difficult to know as I'm speaking who God is working with in the congregation. It's difficult to know even at times what's on a person's mind. Who could ever have imagined way back here when Christ was born that there would be men who would have been studying what Hebrew scriptures were in their possession, that God would be calling heathens and that God would be calling idolaters to search for the Messiah? God specializes in impossible tasks. And I love God for that. And in this story, what's revealed to me is the whole idea that God is trying to communicate with people. And God's going to communicate. He will figure out a way to communicate with you if you are seeking him. The story of the Magi here in Matthew chapter 2 has a distinctive setting. If I could just go back to verse 1, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. And they said, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him.'" Now, can I just put this in a story form? Before Christ was born, like I hinted at, there were these very intelligent, wealthy men in a foreign nation, probably Persia. They had limited copies of the Hebrew scriptures, to my knowledge, but their interest had been trying to discover God in nature. Interesting, because nature is supposed to be like a second Bible to Christian people, but most of us really don't spend much time studying nature to reveal God. We are plagued with the idea that if disaster comes, then it's an act of God. But these men belonged to a whole class of men. Maybe it included women too, I don't know. But they wanted to see this God of providence in the things of nature. True, they were philosophers, but searching for God in nature, it brought them to a very distinct place. For instance, when the shepherds had been out in the field around their campfire, Jesus had been born, that mighty choir of angels came to the shepherds, and those angels had a particular message to give. They said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the King, their presence in the darkened sky was so bright, hundreds of miles away, some who belonged to this class that would become the Magi, or known as the Magi in the story, those men, hundreds of miles away, saw this bright light in the sky. It was unusual. It was not ordinary. And they began to wonder, what is this light? Some of them found the scripture that said that a star would come. And I don't know his name or their names, but God communicated through dreams, and he told those men to follow the star, and the star would lead them to the Messiah. Can you imagine such a thing happening to heathen men and idolaters? Most likely they worshiped through a system called Zoroastrianism. You are very fortunate to live in a Christian nation. But for these men to kind of be drawn toward the God of heaven and the concept that a king would be born who would be a Messiah and he would gather all people to Jerusalem, it must have been a singular doctrine to them. And in the land they lived, foreign information. But yet God was calling that particular group of people to a knowledge of the Savior. So interesting what God uses to bring conviction to a person's mind. And when God begins to call, and if a person will listen, they will hear the voice of God. Whether it be through the stellar bodies in the heavens, or whether it be through a song, or whether it be through a sermon, or even through a prayer, or a simple reading of the scripture, God knows how to speak to the yearning of the human heart that wants something better. Through a dream, the wise men came to the conclusion, let's follow that star. It takes faith to step out and do things differently than your family or your co-workers or even your nation. But they did it. I don't know what kind of committee meeting they must have had, but they gathered together the gifts that would be given in a traditional way to a king as he would be inaugurated into kingship, expecting that to take place on the other end of their journey. So they loaded the camels with a measure of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Hey, interesting, by the way, if you study out the symbolism of gold and frankincense and myrrh, gold is used as a gift for a king. Myrrh is used on the other end of a king's life in the preparation for death. And frankincense is used as a, among other things, as a symbol of power and energy. And you may even use it today as an essential oil. Anybody here that believes in the use of essential oil? It was also used as a currency in some places. It made people wealthy. It came from Yemen. Another source was the southern part of Africa, the Horn of Africa. Maybe some other places too. But the wise men gathered up those supplies, believing that it would be a participation in this coronation of the King of the Jews. And so they travel. I will say hundreds of miles. maybe on camels or donkeys or maybe even walking, and they traveled at night because that's the best way to see the star. And the star was a group of angels, right? Now, don't ask me why God did not provide for them to travel in the daytime, other than there was more safety in traveling at night. That's the best answer I can give you, because God's certainly capable of leading someone in broad daylight. The light leads them toward Jerusalem. I've been thinking about this all since last week. You know, if the light led them to the temple there in Jerusalem, and if they traveled at night, there's some chronology here that I'm not exactly clear of. Somehow they saw the light over the temple. Maybe it was the wee hours of the morning. I don't know how the timing worked on this. But they show up at church the next morning. They show up at the temple, and being dressed in the traditional dress of their country, they must have really been easy to identify. And whoever they spoke with first probably had a look of shock on his face. Maybe the gatekeeper at the temple. One of the shepherds says, We are here, and we have come to participate in recognizing the new king. Where is he? And the man goes, duh. I don't know. So on his cell phone, he punches 911. And the supervisors come. Hello, how may I help you? Have you noticed when you call to get information, you generally get a message that says, all of our customer representatives are busy? I have a confession to make. I literally hate that. I know big companies have to do it, but I like to speak to a real person. And I wish, and this is all I'm going to say about this, I wish we could have one password for everything that was hack-proof. The Magi said to that man, we've come to worship the newborn king. The supervisor comes out and says, shh, what is it that you want? May I help you? We've got these camels that their backs are breaking with all this gold and myrrh and other things that smell good, and we're tired, bow-legged, worn out. We want to see the new king and worship him. Where is he? Shh. If the Romans find out that we have a king, they will not be very happy. Somehow it all took place. The leadership should have known about the birth of Christ, because the shepherds had certainly went through the community talking about it. Anyone of a like mind could have gone and talked to Mary and to Joseph. There were circumstances just denied, flatly lied about. And in the middle of all of this, the wise men go to Herod and they just blab it all out to him. We've come to worship the new king, and we don't know where he's at. Herod says to his advisors, go down there and get some of those men that know these Old Testament prophecies and find out where he's supposed to be born. I want to know. Liar. The ending of all of this is that on the close of a particular day, I don't know if it was the first day, the second day, but near the close of the day, as the sun was going down and the shadows beginning to lengthen, in sadness, the wise men turned their entourage to leave Jerusalem. They had a ray of hope. The star was there. The Christ had not been where they thought he was. But because the power of God was in their heart, the conviction of Scripture was in their mind, and the supernatural evidence of the God of nature could be visibly seen, and they had a record of trust with the star. They followed that star. Out of Jerusalem they went, probably somewhat disappointed, but yet encouraged by the fact they have now learned that the Christ is supposed to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And as I recall, Bethlehem is about 8 miles away from Jerusalem. So they make their way toward Bethlehem. You know what they're talking. Women are not the only... See, I don't even need to go here. The wise men must have been saying to themselves, I wonder what it's going to be like when we see him. I wonder what his father is like. Wonder what his mother is like. What kind of house will they be in? You know, isn't it bad that we judge people sometimes by the method of profiling? I read of a pastor who was being assigned to a new church. And I'm not so sure I would like to just show up this way, but it kind of used to be done this way, really. But he dresses as a beggar and doesn't take a bath. And he's on the steps of the church on Sunday morning. And no one knows that it's the new pastor coming. He gets an unbiased view of the way his church profiles other people. Sometimes we do that with people of other faith. I hate that just about as much as I do all of our customer representatives are busy. You know, Adventists are not the only people that are going to heaven. God is working in the hearts and minds of people all over the country that you might consider unfit for the kingdom of God. I was having a revelation meeting in Selma, Alabama. And I don't want you to forget this. I think this is the second time I've told a story. A man sat right there where Ron is sitting. All the community knew him as Bandit because of his past record. And that man, he just drank in the teaching of Scripture. Night after night he came. And when we gave out the diplomas, at the end of the series, that man stood up and tears streaming down his eyes. And there was a change. I don't mind just telling you, the church really didn't accept him. God accepted him. It was a good experience for me as a young pastor to kind of see how human minds work, even among professed Christian people. God calls people of many different teachings and beliefs. Here were these magi. They've left their country. They've traveled for days on end. And now at last the star, the light, hovers over the humble dwelling where the Christ child is. It probably could have been human nature just simply to say, he can't be in there. He's a king. Little did they know exactly who Jesus was. You know, God can only give us a measure of truth at once. And it's a measure. He doesn't give it to us all at one time. Those magi that came there to worship the Christ child, they knew what their basic understanding had been, that a king would be born, Jerusalem would be set up. They knew nothing about being adopted into the family of God and all of the things of the temple that you know. They just felt the call of God upon their heart to go and to worship. Go and find the king. Give him these gifts. Give him the best that you have. By the way, there's another sermon right there too. If you are giving God your heart, you will also be giving him the very best of everything you have to give. Now, I want to switch gears as we close. I think the wise men knew something about the idea of God becoming a child. I don't know the depth or the level of that understanding. But God became a child for a very unique reason and purpose. Did you see? No, you folks up front could not see it. But Jelani was doing sign language while we were singing a while ago. When she first started, I thought I might have some fuzz on my jacket or something. She's, you know. We were the first conference to hire a deaf pastor. His name is Jeff Jordan. If you're interested in his way of communicating, you can look it up on the internet this afternoon. It's called southerndeaffellowship.org. All lowercase letters. He has that ministry in order to communicate with people who are deaf. The reason that Christ came to the earth as a baby and grew up like us, I believe it's demonstrated in Hebrews chapter 1. Would you turn there with me, and this will be our closing text for the day. But in order for God to call us, God has to speak to us in a way that we understand. And in Hebrews 1, it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, he has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, that's Christ, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the worlds. In order to communicate with us and to demonstrate who God is, this whole idea of Christ leaving the courts of heaven and being born of a humble birth, being born like us so he can communicate with us, but still retain his divinity. This is the whole miracle of Christmas. Verse 3 says, who being in the brightness of his glory and that express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, the moral of all of this story here that I've been trying to get to, and the take-home lesson for you today is this. Just as the shepherds put out effort to find the Christ child, if you put out some effort and you search in the right place, you too will find a king worthy of our worship and worthy to receive your gifts It may not be gold. It may not be frankincense. It may not be the myrrh. But it can be the inward treasure of your heart and of your mind that you give to Him.